And let's give it up for Ralph and Ruth Sureski. Our special guests today are going to come and join me on the platform. Come on up. So Ralph and Ruth have been longtime Christian and Missionary Alliance international workers in Germany for most of the last 20, 30 years. I guess almost 30 years now, probably. Yeah, more than 30 years. And they're here to share with us today. Great to have them here.
Thank you. It's great to be with you again. We're so thankful for all of you and many others who have prayed for us all of these years. It is more than 30 years. We were mere children when we went. We always say that, but no one believes us. Yeah, it's just great to be with you. We're excited to see what God is doing, not only in Heidelberg, and we'll share a little bit of that with you today, but around the world. I know that the news that you hear here about the refugee situation in Germany is pretty negative, and there are some negatives, but you don't hear about the hundreds of people who are coming to know Jesus.
I can never say that without crying, because I'm so in awe of how God uses the wickedness of man through in wars and persecution, and he redeems it and turns it into an opportunity for people who've been in countries where they never could hear the gospel and they never could be baptized in any kind of public way, and they get to come to Germany or other countries in Europe or to Canada or the States, and they get a chance to hear the gospel. And it's just amazing to see how God is doing that. Just one little story that is quite fascinating to us, and it doesn't have to do with the refugees, but I grew up in Alliance Church in Hamilton, Ontario, and some of my heroes were the missionaries, the people I call the real missionaries. So we live in this pretty nice place. But these were the people who went into the jungles of Irian Jaya and Papua New Guinea, and there were still headhunters and cannibals and Stone Age tribes, and these were the people that just were heroes to me, the people that had to fly in and had to actually build the airstrip before they could fly in, you know, those kind of missionaries. And about a year ago this month, in October, is when we often get some new people coming, moving into the city, because that's when the university starts. And we're having house church, and these two young women walked in, and one was a German who I'd met already. And the other girl, I said, where are you from? And she said, I'm American, from Pennsylvania. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, but not only. And she, obviously she had another ethnic heritage mixed in there. And she said, well, my father's from Papua New Guinea. And I was like, whoa. And that just like brought up for me all of this, you know, my concept of the heroes that had gone to Papua New Guinea. And she told me a bit of the story. She said her mother was a cultural anthropologist, an American, completely secular, no interest in God, went to PNG, as they call it, which is a little bit easier to say, and was doing research in some tribes. She went up way up in the mountain to this remote tribe, and this tribe knew Jesus. Somebody, somewhere, had brought the gospel to this tribe. And they had actually integrated their belief in the triune God into their own cultures and their own ways of doing things. And they were just beautiful people. And they led this American woman to Christ up in the mountains. And then her daughter ends up coming to our group. And she was with us for almost a year. She was wonderful, very prophetic, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just a wonderful woman. She joined in with us, and we just got a WhatsApp message from her this morning that she recorded at her wedding yesterday to say hi. And two of our girls from Germany were there at her wedding, because she had become such an integral and important part of our community there in Germany. So now there's all this crossover, like, just amazing to me how God is doing that. We're also very thankful we're able to be, on the 1st of July, we're able to be at the 20th anniversary of the church we helped start in Mannheim, Hauses Herrn. And I know some of you have prayed for us over the years, know how hard it was at the beginning, have prayed for that church and their wonderful leaders who've been leading it on their own now for the last 10 years, seen the church growing, sent out missionaries, have established 15 house groups across the city. just amazing. And we were so thankful to be able to be there. The church that we started in Heidelberg is called New Song. Ralph will explain a little bit about why, and we'll just give you a video, a few minutes, to give you a glimpse of what God is doing in Heidelberg right now.
Heidelberg is a beautiful old German town. It is deep in history. There is a lot of education here, so it's a place where there's many, many students.
There's something special about Heidelberg. There's a certain hunger here beyond even New Song. There's a lot of churches, a lot of ministries here feeling this hunger for, we want more of God and we want to see more of this arrive in Germany. So we feel like there's just something strategic about this place.
God has a good plan for the city of Heidelberg.
So the goal and the vision statement of New Song is really to make disciples that make disciples and build communities that do the same in Heidelberg and beyond. And so that means bringing people to Christ, teaching them what it means to follow Jesus, but also teaching them to do it in community and do it together.
We were looking for a church here in Heidelberg, and there are plenty. If I would not have been a Christian, after the third one we tried, I would have said I will never ever go into any church again. And then we heard about New Song and we came there, and it happened so that it was a brunch meeting the first time we went there, and we said, hey, hello, come in, and who are you, and what are you doing? And it was like we had been there all the time, so we were in as soon as we got there.
One part in particular that I tend to connect to is this value of hospitality. And we also carry this value of belonging before you believe.
The church back home was like 800 people, and so there was community, but it just looked a whole lot different. And so I've loved having New Song is a local church, but also a missional movement together. And so I love having just the intentionality, the family dynamic, the closeness of house church, and such a missional focus. It's really encouraging to see that spreading. And just also, like, it was this, like, craving I had, and so just really thankful for that.
There's something strategic about and a need for English and to reach the nations, and the nations are flocking here, and how can we use English as maybe a platform to do that? Also in discipleship, to even be equipping Germans who speak amazing English, a lot of the people here speak amazing English, with being able to do discipleship in English, so when they maybe meet someone, they can also have that edge. So right now, we are kind of, a lot of what we do is English speaking for that reason. In a couple years, who knows, but right now that is one of the focuses, is students, internationals, English speaking.
My hope and dream for New Song is that we really reach the city with multiplying missional communities to reach people, especially those that have no connection to church or to Jesus and that have not really known him. And that's, yeah, we find persons of peace that open their relational network to receive Jesus, and that we would really see transformation in the city on a tangible level. Friends and family in Canada, thank you so much for your support, especially in prayer.
I believe every life that has been impacted happened because we know that the church in Canada believes in what we're doing, has been praying with us, and has been such a huge encouragement.
I would love to say thank you, one, for your support and your prayers for Ralph and Ruth, as well as for our whole community here, but also thank you for your trust, as this is something, like, missional community and New Song is new for all of us, and we are exploring this, and we are learning it, and we are seeing God's leadership in this, and so just thank you for also trusting with us.
Thank you so very much for sending so well-trained missionaries and beautiful, beautiful people as Ralph and Ruth, also Carissa, over to our barren Christian country, Germany. I can only tell they are the biggest blessing I ever encountered on German ground. Thank you.
We basically cry every time we see those lovely faces, and we did not tell them what to say. We didn't pay pay them for saying these very nice things. We didn't have anything to do with it. A young woman, a German woman from another church, offered to do this. She's a videographer, learning that. But I hope it gave a little bit of a glimpse of these dear people that are part of this ministry called New Song. We arrived back in Germany. We'd been many years in Mannheim, as Ruth mentioned. And I went through a journey with cancer, and the Lord gave us a green light. We were back here in Canada for a couple of years. Gave us a green light to go back. It's an amazing story how it led us even to the city of Heidelberg. So we arrived there in January of 2014, so just 4.5 years ago. And the Lord put it on our hearts just to pray for about 6 months. And there were connections that we made. We visited most of the churches that were there. There were about 10 evangelical, Bible-believing, life-giving churches. And, of course, many Lutheran churches, and there is a degree of life in some of them, some real hot spots. But the Lord gave us great favor as we came back there. And we just wanted to know, what is it that God is doing, and what might our contribution be to this city? And God gave us great open doors, especially with the Lutheran church. We didn't really see that coming. But they've allowed us to use some of their buildings. Once a month, we'll talk about that in a minute, we do an outreach, and that's in a big old 400-year-old church. And but he put some prayer burdens in our hearts, and I know many of you prayed with us as we went back. This was 4 years ago. And we began what we now call New Song because God put in our hearts this verse from Revelation 5, verse 9, where it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" There are 150,000 people in the city of Heidelberg. It's not a huge city, but 40,000 students. And many, many, many of those, thousands of those, come from various parts of the world. So as Carissa said in the presentation, It's a drawing point because of this amazing university. And there are many researchers, and especially in the area of medicine. And so it's just a focal point for the nations. So God put this verse in Ruth's heart that our ministry would be called New Song, with a sense of vision. Someday, Lord, we're praying that what happens here would become a reflection of what you said, Jesus, in Matthew 28, "Go into all the world," as Franklin Graham quoted earlier, "and make disciples of all the nations." We're so glad about half of our ministry, or people that are part of our ministry, about 35 people thus far, are German, but they speak very good English. It's just an amazing phenomenon that God has given to reach the nations, to use English. But this is the vision God has given us through this verse, and to raise up disciples of Christ fueled by apostolic vision, prophetic insight, and compelled by love. Paul says, "I'm compelled, I'm drawn, I'm motivated by love to serve the body of Christ in Heidelberg." And so God has given us this. And so we have three things that we've kind of focused on in the ministry in Heidelberg. And the first one we call Encounter. I'm going to have some of these encounter flyers up on a chair up here in just a minute. But this is happening this coming Saturday, so if you would join with us. Once a month, usually on the last Saturday of the month, we have an outreach service. We say it's to experience Jesus through music and story. And Jesus was a great storyteller, a parable teller, and so we have this incredible opportunity right in the middle. There's in German we call it a Fußgängerzone. It's like a pedestrian zone, 2 kilometers long. It's one of the largest or longest pedestrian areas in all of Germany. And right in the middle is this 400-year-old church called the Providenzkirche. And as I said, God gave us favor. We're not Lutherans. We don't belong in the big picture to one of these state churches. But as you and we have prayed, God gave us this wide open door, so $150 a month we get to use this big building. And if you were to just step out these back doors here, say that's the back of the church, and we open the doors, and literally your foyer would be like maybe a bit wider. And Saturday nights, thousands and thousands of people are walking by this right in the middle, going out for dinner, going out for coffee, maybe heading to some place, a theater or something like that. And these thousands of people, they hear the music because the doors are open. And literally, just in your foyer is where these thousands are walking by. They hear the music. We have a few people outside inviting, sometimes have a guitarist, and giving people a flyer and inviting them in. Some just come in without an invitation. What's going on in the Providence here tonight? And sometimes it's a huge factor. If it's just drizzling a little bit, our weather's a little bit like the North Shore, and, oh, let's get out of this. What's going on in there? And they come in, and some of them will just stand at the back, 10, 15, 20 people. Back in September, Carissa, who's one of our main leaders, she said, I think we have the most people come off the street we've ever had in the 4 years we've been doing that. We've seen salvations, Chinese students, an American woman, people being healed, and people being blessed and encouraged. Some people just as tourists coming in, we're here for one day, we came, all this, they were already believers, but they were so discouraged, and they were just so ministered to. We always have prayer teams. And so it's one of those amazing things, and so this is a big part of what we're doing. Twice a month, we do a thing called Equip. It's kind of a reflection of our journey with Acts 19, verse 10, where Paul came to Ephesus. He found some believers, some disciples. They only knew the baptism of John, and Paul asked them, do you know about the Holy Spirit? We've never heard about the Holy Spirit. Sounds like some places in the world. People who are churched or whatever, but they don't know this dynamic walk with Christ and His Spirit. And this is one of our goals. As Paul started this ministry with these young disciples, and eventually they ended up in what they call the Hall of Tyrannus. And it said they met every day, and within 2 years, all of Asia Minor, which is present Turkey, heard the gospel, both Jew and Greek. We thought, what was going on in that hall that kind of an impact happened? And so Equip is kind of like an apostolic sending base. We want to send people out. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We're all to be apostolic. We may not go to another culture, but this is the desire that we have to equip people very, very hands-on, that they might make an impact right beside their in their neighborhood, in their school, on the job, and even be called to another culture. And then the result of that, this is what we pray that God would do, that a missional community or a network of missional communities would come up, be raised up in the city. And we've kind of flipped things around. We do missional community on Sunday, and we do our Equip and the Encounter during the week. And so this is what has developed. And the thing that's not on here is kind of the really fires everything that we're doing. We call it a prayer furnace. And many of you have prayed with us and joined with us, just keeping this fire going. God, we're here for the nations. We're here for your glory. And we made it a goal as a team and others who can join us, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the late afternoon, trying to make it accessible for everyone. But 4 to 5 hours a week, we just pump our hearts, just presence of God, come and bless this city. And we have others that will join us from other churches, just believing that revival will come to this amazing strategic country and this amazing city. So thank you for praying with us and joining with us in this journey that we now call New Song.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to give you a little illustration. If you've been around the Alliance very long, you might have heard the phrase, the dynamic link between the deeper life and missions. And at Assembly this year, the focus was, thank you, the focus was deeper in Jesus, further on mission. And I love that, because the thing is, if we get deeper in Jesus, we're going to be on mission, because His heart is for the nations. His heart is for everyone to come to know Him. And we picked up this illustration from a Norwegian evangelist. And if you're interested after, you can ask us. We'll send you the link to the original, but we tweaked it a little bit. But he uses these three chairs to illustrate this idea. So chair number one is the Spirit-filled believer. Chair number two is also a believer, but not walking in the Spirit, what A.B. Simpson would have called it, the Christ life and the self life. And chair number three represents all the people who do not know Jesus. This could be the worst person you can imagine, or it could be your wonderful next-door neighbor who's a lovely person but does not know Jesus. So in the scripture, we see that anyone who is not in Christ is in the kingdom of darkness. And Paul tells us that we have been rescued from this kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's where we are. But he also, he talks about our identity. Sometimes we get a little mixed up in this. And he talks about that once we were darkness. Not only that we were in darkness, but we were darkness. But now we are light in the Lord, and we should live as children of light. So obviously, it's possible to be in the kingdom of light and not live as a child of light. Remember that little Sunday school song about, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? And there was that verse, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I think the bushel is our self, right? We get in the way of letting the light shine. Jesus said you are the light of the world. But we kind of shadow that sometimes because it's all about me. It's all about God blessing me and helping me and making my life better. And what we think we've done is invited Jesus into our kingdom to help us out a bit. But actually, we have stepped into his kingdom and he is the king. And that's the place where we need to be, where he's shining through us. The thing is, when we can sit here and we can be filled with the Spirit and we can be anointed, or we can be here and be annoying. I think we all have to admit we sit here sometimes. Our encouragement today is let's not sit here very long or very often, and let's quickly get back to, Holy Spirit, I need you. I want to obey you. I want to follow Jesus. Here we can be prophetic. We can be hearing from God. We can be sharing what we're hearing from God with other people. And here we might just be pathetic. We might just be, you know, trying to live our life, trying to be good, trying to do everything out of our own strength. We met with some friends this week, and he said, you know, I used to hear this phrase, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And he said, but actually, burning out or resting out is just because I'm working in the flesh. And if you're living here, you're living from the acceptance of God. Here we know that we're already accepted by God. We know that we're his children, his dearly loved children. We don't have to prove anything. And if we're sitting here, we're trying really hard to get God's approval, which we already have. So we need to sit more often here and receive from God and give that away and shine for him. Because the thing is that if my next door neighbor or whoever it is, my work colleague or whoever, looks at me and I'm sitting here, I don't look much different. I have a different belief system, if we ever get a chance to talk about that. I drive away every Sunday morning to go somewhere and come back later. But otherwise, I look just the same. I'm just as worried about the future of whatever, my future, or I'm just as frustrated with things that happen. I'm just as fearful. I'm just as worried when I'm sick. Instead of shining, really shining the way we're supposed to shine. And how do we get to be shiny is by sitting in this chair and contemplating the Lord's glory, being so focused on Jesus, setting my mind on things above, not on things in the earth. And then I am being transformed constantly into his image from glory to glory, with ever-increasing glory, as this translation said, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So that's just a very quick summary of that little illustration that helps us to see what do we want the people who are in darkness, that we want them to see a great light. They need to see light. They need to see us shining.
This is our heart's cry and our ministry in Heidelberg, and I know it's a universal thing that God wants to do in our lives. And just in conclusion, a couple more verses, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to, in some creative way, respond. Romans chapter 3, you know, some of us know this verse. We learned it early in our walk with Jesus. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're more concentrated on, yeah, your sin, you've sinned, and you need to get taken care of this sin issue. But we forget the last half of the verse, which says, and fallen short of the glory of God. There is a couple of translations in English, and German makes it also very clear that we've sinned, and we're missing out on the glory that God intended for us. We're made for glory. We're made for His glorious presence. We're wired for His presence. And He's this God of glory. And so this is the good news of the gospel. What's so good about the good news? We have sinned, but He's got a way for us that we might come back to this glorious life that He intended for us in this chair number one. And then there's a psalm, Psalm 67, kind of an older Old Testament version of this invitation into glory, where it says in verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. And that little dash there, I think it represents, in most a lot of translations, it'll say Selah, which is kind of like pressing a pause button. Think about this. Give it a bit of thought. Yes, God, You've made me for Your glory. There's grace in Your presence. I thank You that You want to make Your face shine upon us. You want to ignite a fire. You want to bring glory into my life. You want to bless me. We know that this is Your desire. So this is what we pray, God. May You be gracious to us. But I think we live so often with the pause button pressed. Yeah, it's all about me, like Ruth said. We're very selfish about this. But if you unleash or take your finger off the pause button, this is where the real intent is, why we need His glory, why we need His blessing, His favor upon us. So that, let's take our hands or fingers off this pause button, because the real purpose is so that Your ways may be known on the earth and Your salvation among the nations. It was read this morning, as we started that one psalm, I think right in the middle of it is something about that Your glory or that Your praise might be known among the nations. So Lord, we want to live in this chair. We want to walk in Your spirit. We want to know Your glorious presence, Your blessing and encouragement, so that our lives will look different and people be drawn to Your glory. They'll ask for the reason of the hope that's within us. So Lord, we ask, help us take our fingers off that pause button. We hear Your voice. We hear Your invitation. We're created for glory. We were created for Your glorious presence so that the nations might see You. What's at stake here are people's lives, people who are lost. And if we're living so often here, they're not going to be drawn to us. We might be friendly or something. But I sometimes say, if the tune of my life is so amazing, people are going to ask about the words. They're going to ask about the text of the song. Here it's all about us. Here it's all about Him. And one final call, Isaiah 60. This amazing call to the children of Israel who've been brought out of captivity, and Isaiah is speaking prophetically over them. You blew it. You didn't get this chair idea. You didn't see yourselves as a glowing example of what it means as a nation, let alone as an individual, to live with God. They were out of Jerusalem. They were out of this glorious presence of His. They were living so long just for themselves. So Isaiah trumpets this call to them. And I'm going to ask you this morning as we conclude, you can do one of maybe three things or all of them at the same time. Maybe just put your hand on your heart as I read this verse in a prayerful way, or put them out and just to say, yes, God, I receive this. Or if you want to go the third mile, stand when I say the word arise. You can do, you don't, you're not going to be less spiritual or something if you don't stand, but if you're able and this is speaking to you, would you stand? Would you put your hand on your heart or in some way say, God, I hear your call, I hear your invitation. This is your intent for me. This is my destiny. This is who I am as a son, a daughter in the kingdom of yours. So I'm going to read. If you want to do that and stand and whatever you want to do, I'm just going to prayerfully read this to North Shore Alliance Church. Arise. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears upon you, or over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. North Shore Alliance Church, Christians of this North Shore, arise and shine, for your glory has come. May the Lord bless you and keep you and shine his face upon you. May you hear his invitation and live in this chair number one. I pray, God, that this church will become even brighter. Thank you for the glory of your presence. And I pray, Father, that your name will be made known, that people will see the glory of your presence in every one of us. Keep us more in that chair number one. That's where we belong. And I bless you, God, that many will come because they see the glory of your presence in these dear people. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. You may be seated, or maybe just stand as we continue to worship. If during the song, or if there's a moment before when the service ends and before the annual meeting begins, you want to come in some prophetic act, you don't have to do it, but maybe it'll just seal this in your heart. Come up here and touch chair number one. Say, God, this is where I belong. Forgive me being so selfish. I hear your voice. I'm giving myself to this kind of a lifestyle. And then touch this chair. It's not just about me. It's not just about my own health, wealth, or whatever. It's about the nations. And if you'd like to take an encounter card, the encounter is happening this Saturday. Pray that the nations will come to Christ in Heidelberg.